My sisters and brothers, I got to tell you, that is my favorite gospel for this great season of Lent. It is an extraordinary reflection for us as we head into that third week. But before we get there, I would like to give you a little thought from Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Mother Teresa had a calling card, like all of us, you know, all these big shots, we have calling cards, you know. Here's my card. So on the card, we have, you know, Lloyd Torgerson, pastor of St. Monica's Parish Community, or Joe Smith, president, or Mary Mulligan, queen. You know, I mean, we have all these titles that we put on these great cards so that everyone knows how important we are. Do we do it? Folks, do we do it? Yes, we do. Mother Teresa, when she would come and give her calling card, and she had one, this is what she had on the card. The fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. And the fruit of service is joy. How about that? Now that's a calling card. The fruit of silence is prayer. Prayer leads to faith. Faith leads to love. Love leads to service. And service leads to joy. That's her calling card. Some would suggest it's called patterns of experience. We agree. Silence does lead to prayer. We agree. Prayer leads to some faith, and faith leads to love, and love leads to service, and service leads to joy. That's a pattern of some kind of growth, some experience. We all say, yeah, that sounds right. Listen to this gospel tonight. It is exactly the same pattern of experience. Here it is. Hold on to that for me, Lloyd. We're in Samaria. Samaria is right dead center, state of Israel. Galilee is in the north, Jerusalem is in the south, and the normal way, the easiest way to get up to the north would go right through to Samaria. But Jews don't do that. Why don't they do that? Because the enemy is the Samaritan. They are Jews who have been unfaithful to the law of Moses. So they are in some way the korban. They are the outcasts of the Jewish community. And as a matter of fact, when I went to Shechem in one of my visits, I went with a Palestinian bus because if you go with a Jewish bus, you're going to get stones thrown at you. That's what happens. They're the enemy, the Samaritans, right smack in the middle of the state. Jesus went there. First thing. He goes there not in the dark of night. He goes there, it says, when? Noon, broad daylight. There he is, right in the middle of the sun. And not like Nicodemus, who we had just met with. You didn't hear that because you missed that part of the gospel. He'd just been speaking to Nicodemus, who was a Jew, faithful Jew, Orthodox, came in night. Didn't get what Jesus said, walked away, didn't follow him. This woman comes to Jesus in broad daylight. Aha. John is saying something there, the writer of the gospel. So he sits there, hot, and it's hot. Samaria is hot, baby. I mean, it's hot, right in the desert. Big old deep well. I've seen the well. It's way down the well. It's old, from the time of Jacob. It's old. True, Jacob. So he says, can I have a little water? She looks at him. She's a Samaritan. She's the mortal enemy. She says, sir, you're a Jew. Jews don't ask Samaritans for water. And they certainly don't ask women, Samaritan women, for water. Now, women, don't get excited. It's contextualized by the time, but there it is. You don't ask for it. It just didn't happen. And Jesus' response, having recognized him as Jew, man, Jew, says, friend, if you had known who was asking water from you, you would have asked water of me. Because the water that I can give you, even though you're right, I don't have a bucket, I can't scoop up the water like you've suggested, even though I don't have that, I have within me living water, water that will give you a satiation of every thirst. You will never want to drink again. The water I give is the living water, the water of salvation. She says, whoa, what's this about? Called him a Jew, and now is confused. And so she says, what do you mean, living water? What is that about? He said, go get your husband and bring him here and let's talk about it. I want to tell you what it's about. She said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, you're dead right. You've had five, sister, five husbands. And the guy you're with right now is not your husband. How about that? She says, you're not just a Jew, not just a man. You're a prophet. I didn't tell you that. Somehow you knew. You knew everything that I have done. And then he goes on to say to her that I am that living water. I will quench and nourish every desire and hope of your life. And so she decides to go find some people to hear it. She goes back to Sychar, to the town, and brings these people back and says to the people, this guy is not just a Jew. He didn't just ask me for water. He tells me that he's going to give me loving water, living water that will quench every thirst that I've ever had. I never have to go to a well again. And he's told me everything I know about myself. He's not just a prophet. Maybe he is the Messiah. Maybe he is the one who's been long awaited. Whoa, you better come and see. So they all arrive and they listen to him. And somehow he says to the disciples and to them, he doesn't need their food, he doesn't need their water, that he will give them the water and the food that will nourish them for their journey for life. And when they say, you know, that sounds like the Messiah. That sounds like what he said would happen. He says to them, I am he. The one who is speaking to you is the Messiah. So, the Samaritan woman first began with recognition that she was talking to a man. Secondly, that he was a Jew. She came to believe that he was a prophet. She then came to believe that he possibly could be the Messiah. And then at the end of the gospel, John says that all of the people of the town say, we took your word, sister, but since we've spent 2 days with him, we've listened to him, we've reflected with him, we now believe that he is the I am. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now that, my sisters and brothers, is the great gift of this gospel. It's you and me. It's not about a Samaritan woman. It's not. It's about you and me. What happens in our life? We grow up as kids and we learn about Jesus Christ and We have some knowledge of him, and we might even say, you know, Jesus Christ is my Savior. We might even think that, say that. But we really don't know him. I mean, we know about him. And then somewhere along the way, and I think probably for most of you, you're not there yet because you're all so young and you're looking a little tired tonight, but you're all so young and fresh and full of life. But somewhere, I'm not asking you to pray for it or wait for it, but somewhere it will happen. There'll be a moment when there will be a death in your family, when there will be an illness in your own life, when some addiction will finally be revealed to you and you will be honest and you have to face it in truth. There will be something will happen that will bring you to your knees. And all of a sudden, that person of Jesus Christ becomes oh so real. And somehow, help me, Lord, somehow we get through it. And when we get through it, we know that Jesus Christ is indeed our Lord and Savior. It's easy to forget about it. It's easy to step away from it. It's easy not to recognize it again and we go our merry way. But somehow, some way, as we continue our journey in life, it becomes more and more apparent to us that this Jesus Christ is indeed our personal Lord. He is our personal Savior. And that this Christ is our companion. Our companion in the great moments of our life, in the moments when we are on the top of the world, and my brothers and sisters, especially in those moments when there is darkness, a pervasive thing in our lives that could take us down and away, that person of Christ walks with us and is with us every step of the way. Every morning, I know you're sick of listening to me say this. Every morning, 20 after 6, I jump out of that bed and the weight of the world is on my shoulders. There are things that happen to me every day that I can't, I no more want to do than the man on the moon. I mean, I'd want to go down to Seal Beach and retire some days. And I face those things with great fear and anxiety. And I get on that bike and I'm riding and I'm thinking and I'm fretting and I'm stewing. And I make that turn somewhere along the way, and all of a sudden it dawns on me. You are not alone. Jesus Christ is with you. Con Cristo. Jesus is with you. He's with you in these great moments. He's with you in that very difficult moment today. And when I turn to that, when I believe that, I promise you, my brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, when I look back on that, it becomes the greatest moment of the day. Christ is there. Christ is with us. He will never, never, never leave us, no matter where we are or what we think or what we do. Is it a gradual revelation? Of course it is. Is it one time a man, another time the Messiah, another time the I Am? Of course it is. Every day. But my sisters and my brothers, that's what we are about. This community of faith is not about great music, even though we have the best music in the world. This community of faith is not about a bunch of beautiful people who enter into this church on a Sunday night. That's not what it is. This community, we gather really well. But it's not enough to gather. We are a community that gathers and a community that sends. My sisters and brothers, our Lord went to the sinner. He went to the Samaritan. He went to the enemy. And he spent 2 days. That's the question I ask myself as your pastor every day. Who is invited to this table? Who did Christ come to bring to the table? Brothers and sisters, not just you and me. We gather and we do come and we are nourished. But we are called then to go out to our brothers and sisters who never hear this word, who never know that person of Jesus Christ, who will never know unless you and I strengthened by this gift that we receive and are reminded of every single week to go out and to change the minds and the hearts of the Samaritan, of those who might first recognize him as a Jew, and then possibly as a Messiah, a prophet, and ultimately as our personal Savior. I don't know if that makes one ounce of sense, and I talk too long, and I know it. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, it's taken me a lot of years to come to this, and I'm embarrassed to say that to you. So I guess what I'm suggesting is don't wait. Believe that. It's the truth. We gather and we are sent. And we gather and we are sent with this great companion, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he is with us every step of the way. Amen.